Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo, John Russell, and Katie Weaver. Later, we will bring you the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
Sports are usually the way that countries compete with one another. However, there is another way countries around the world are competing for the top spot: planting the most trees. The latest winner of that contest is Ethiopia. On July 29th, the Associated Press reported that Ethiopians planted more than 200 million trees. The country is currently in the middle of a massive tree planting campaign. It aims to plant 4 billion trees between May and October of this year. That is very good news for our planet. Planting more trees may be a way to reduce the effects of global warming. Scientists from Switzerland recently said that if the world plants 1 trillion trees, carbon dioxide, or CO2, emissions could drop by 25%. Officials in Ethiopia say the country has so far planted more than 2.6 billion trees. The forest management organization Farm Africa says that less than 4% of land in Ethiopia is forested. That is a sharp drop from around 30% at the end of the 19th century. Climate change, the country's fast-growing population, and the need for more farmland are the causes of deforestation. The goal of Ethiopia is to restore its land. Its other goal is perhaps to beat India's tree-planting world record. On July 1, 2016, 800,000 volunteers in India's Uttar Pradesh state planted nearly 50 million trees. Smithsonian Magazine and other organizations reported that effort was one for the record books. The following year, another state in India broke Uttar Pradesh's record. The Digital Journal reported that year that 1.5 million volunteers in Madhya Pradesh planted nearly 66 million trees in 12 hours. The Guinness World Records closely watches the world's tree planting contests. The AP reports that Guinness has not yet officially recognized Ethiopia's tree planting claims. Guinness has different categories for their tree planting records. Some categories are for an unlimited number of people. Some are for a certain number of people. It also has time requirements. For example, countries can compete to plant the most trees in 1 hour or 1 day. Many countries are doing their part to make the earth greener. Pakistan, Indonesia, Ecuador, and the Philippines have all competed in tree planting contests. Pakistan and Indonesia even hold Guinness World Records. China is doing its part, too. It may not be a current world record holder, but its efforts can be seen from space. In February 2019, the American space agency NASA published a statement saying India and China are leading the way in making our planet greener. In large part because of India's and China's efforts, the worldwide green leaf area has increased by 5% since the early 2000s. If your country does not have its own tree planting day, maybe you should suggest it on social media. That is what one man in Turkey recently did. On Twitter, Enes Şahin suggested dedicating a day for planting trees in Turkey. The Turkish citizen asked others to support his idea, and they did. His tweet quickly went viral. Şahin wrote, "Let's set aside a day for all 82 million people in the country, including the children and the elderly, to plant trees. Let's set an example to the world and hand down a green country to the upcoming generations." Turkish officials took notice. Rumeysa Karak, Turkey's youngest elected deputy, tweeted, "This is an awesome idea. It will be on our agenda for tomorrow." Karak later met with Şahin to discuss his idea. Then the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, later sent his own message on Twitter. He wrote, "My friends and I will undertake all responsibility to make sure that we have a national tree planting day." Even if your country does not have any special day or events for tree planting, you can always go it alone. Canadian Ken Chaplin holds the world record for the most trees planted in one day by a single person. On June 30th, 2001, he planted 15,170 red pine seedlings in Canada's Saskatchewan province. I'm Ana Mateo.
Chinese officials have ordered Muslim food sellers in Beijing to remove words and images connected to Islam from their business signs. Workers at 11 restaurants in the Chinese capital spoke to Reuters reporters. They said officials told them to remove images such as the crescent moon, and words such as halal written in Arabic. About 20 million Muslims live in China. The campaign against Arabic writing and traditional Islamic images is part of an effort to make religions conform to traditional Chinese culture. The campaign has also included the removal of Middle Eastern-style elements on mosques across the country. Islam is not the only targeted religion. In recent years, officials also have closed or destroyed Christian churches that operate without government permission. But Muslims in China have been especially affected. In 2009, deadly fighting broke out between mostly Muslim Uyghur people and Han Chinese in Xinjiang. The area, in the country's northwest, is home to about 11 million Uyghurs. Over the next 5 years, ethnic Uyghurs were blamed for a series of knife and bomb attacks in public areas. In answer, China launched what it described as a crackdown on terrorism in Xinjiang. It built huge, heavily guarded complexes across the region. China describes the complexes as voluntary work training centers. But former detainees describe the conditions inside as prison-like. Rights groups and international experts estimate that China has detained between 1 and 3 million Muslims in Xinjiang since 2017. The government says its actions are necessary to end religious extremism. Observers say the ruling Communist Party is concerned that foreign influences can make religious groups difficult to control. Darren Beiler is a social scientist and Xinjiang expert at the University of Washington. He told Reuters, "Arabic is seen as a foreign language, and knowledge of it is now seen as something outside of the control of the state." Beiler added that China wants Islam in China to operate primarily through Chinese language. Beijing is home to at least 1,000 halal food stores and restaurants. That number comes from the Meituan Dianping food delivery app. The stores are spread across the city's historic Muslim neighborhood and other places. It was not clear if every halal restaurant in Beijing had been told to remove or hide Arabic writing and Islamic images. Several bigger food businesses that Reuters reporters visited had already replaced their signs with the Chinese term for halal, Qingzhen. Others had simply hidden the Arabic and Islamic images. The Beijing government's Committee on Ethnicity and Religious Issues did not answer reporters' questions. It only said the order was a national directive. The National Ethnic Affairs Commission did not answer a request for comment. Most store owners who spoke with Reuters said they did not mind replacing their signs. But some said it has led to questions from their customers. And one employee at a halal meat store accused officials of erasing Muslim culture. The employee said, "They are always talking about national unity. They are always talking about China being international. Is this national unity?"
Ice Cube is a famous rap music artist. Ask about me. The Lumineers are a famous folk rock group.
Don't ask for cigarettes, she ain't got nothing left for you.
While the Lumineers and Ice Cube might be musically different, they both can teach you something about English grammar. Today, we will explore some of the grammar used in the works of these performers. But first, we start with a few definitions.
In recent everyday grammar stories, we have explored phrasal verbs, expressions that have a verb and a particle. A particle is a short word. Phrasal verbs are idiomatic. They mean something different than what the individual words suggest. Today, we will explore a related subject, verbs and prepositions that appear together in the same sentence. These verbs and prepositions might look like phrasal verbs, but they are not idiomatic. On this program, we will look at how English speakers use two common verb and preposition combinations, ask about and ask for.
Our first example is ask about. Ask is the verb and about is the preposition. You can think of ask about as a kind of curious group of words. What do curious people do? They ask about something. information, advice, and so on. How does one use ask about? Let us listen to an exchange between English speakers. The subject of their friendly chat? Gossip.
Did you hear about Joe and Amy's breakup?
Yes, but I don't know anything about it. Tom asked about their breakup too, but he didn't get a clear answer.
In the exchange, one speaker tells about what Tom reportedly said. Tom was curious about the breakup and asked about the situation. In a television show about popular culture, a broadcaster might use ask about in the following way.
In our next interview, we will ask about the movie star's marriage, children, and finances.
Now, gossip is not the only time English speakers use ask about. They might ask about many other subjects, experiences, jobs, and studies, for example. You can also ask about people. In this case, you are asking about information about a person, their personality, public image, and so on. American rapper Ice Cube gives an example of this structure in his song, Ask About Me.
Ask about me.
Our second verb and preposition combination today is ask for. Here, the verb is ask, and the preposition is for. You can think of ask for as a kind of expression of desire. People who want something ask for something. These things could be specific objects, or they could be a specific kind of information. Let's listen to an example of asking for an object.
The child asked for a treat, but his mother did not give him one.
In the example, the child desires something, in this case, a treat. And here is an example of a person asking for information.
She is asking for directions.
Remember the Lumineers, the rock group you heard at the beginning of this report? Let's listen to part of their song, Slow It Down.
She'll make a fool of you all. Don't ask for cigarettes. She ain't got nothing left for you.
The next time you are watching television, reading books, or speaking with an American, try to find examples of the terms ask about and ask for. Record what you find and listen to it often. With time and practice, you will be able to use these two structures with ease. Let the Everyday Grammar team know if there are any story ideas you would like to ask about, and do not hesitate to ask for help. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Our national parks journey takes us to the western state of Colorado. There, you will find a 77-kilometer-long canyon. Its exposed rocks are among the oldest you will find on Earth. The canyon is so narrow and so deep that sunlight shines only briefly at the bottom at midday. That frequent darkness is what has given this canyon its name. Welcome to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park.
Black Canyon seems impossibly steep and narrow. The fast-moving Gunnison River formed the canyon over millions of years. As the river flows through the canyon, it drops an average of 18 meters per kilometer. The Gunnison River loses more elevation in its 77-kilometer canyon stretch than the Mississippi River does in 2,400 kilometers from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. This loss in elevation causes the river to gain speed and force. Over time, that force has carved and cut the hard rock and created the wild and jagged rock formations found at Black Canyon. That process is known as erosion.
Black Canyon attracted little attention from early Western explorers. In fact, no early Spanish explorers to the southwestern United States reported seeing Black Canyon. The first written record about the canyon came in 1873. The Ute Indians certainly knew of Black Canyon, but only its rim, never the gorge, shows evidence of past human occupation. Even today, the depth and steepness of Black Canyon make it extremely difficult for humans to access.
Birds, however, have no problem surviving in the canyon environment. Black Canyon is home to many kinds of birds. They live at the canyon rim, along its walls, and by the river. Mountain bluebirds and great horned owls live in the rim area. The owls eat seeds and berries from the pinyon, juniper, and oak trees found there. Canyon wrens sing loudly within Black Canyon. Visitors are more likely to hear the birds than see them. They build their nests on flat surfaces of the canyon walls. So do peregrine falcons. They prey on other birds. They dive at speeds up to 300 kilometers per hour to catch them. American dippers build their nests in the gorge next to the Gunnison River. A gorge is a narrow valley between hills or mountains. These dippers feed on insects and small fish.
Some people come to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park for world-class bird watching. But it is the canyon itself that appeals to most visitors. Walking along the rim, seeing the canyon's towering cliffs, and hearing the powerful flow of the Gunnison River far below is an overwhelming experience. At Black Canyon, visitors can view some of the planet's oldest exposed rocks. They are Precambrian rocks. Precambrian accounts for the Earth's history from its very beginning up until about 540 million years ago. Precambrian rocks are described as basement rocks because they are usually buried deep under the surface. They only become exposed when younger rocks have been cut away by erosion or other forces.
At Black Canyon, the Gunnison has eroded the canyon walls so greatly that Precambrian rocks have become visible. Often, the canyon's rock walls look like works of art. Different kinds of rocks fold together and form colorful patterns. The patterns change as sunlight hits different parts of the walls. One area of the canyon is known as Painted Wall. It is the highest cliff in Colorado. Long pink bands of rock cover this section of the canyon, as if a person took a paintbrush to the wall. This pattern formed as hot liquid from below the Earth's surface forced its way into rock cracks. As it slowly cooled, large crystals formed. The bands get their pink color from a crystallized mineral called potassium feldspar.
Local people knew just how special Black Canyon was. They began urging Congress to protect the canyon in the 1930s. It became a national monument in 1933. And in 1999, it became a national park. The park protects more than 22 kilometers of the canyon. Most visitors spend their time exploring the canyon rim by foot or by car. Several kilometers of trails lead to many overlook points. A road also leads to several breathtaking views. The U.S. Congress named the lands below the canyon rim a wilderness preservation system. This is meant to protect forever the land's natural conditions.
Some adventurous travelers choose to explore this wilderness by hiking down to the inner canyon. There are no marked trails to guide them. Hikers must first get a wilderness use permit. These permits are free, but only a limited number are available each day. Many of the paths are difficult to follow. Some are also dangerous. The Warner Point Trail, for example, drops more than 820 meters. Walking down takes more than 2 hours. Walking back up can take up to 4 hours. The Park Service warns that poison ivy grows wildly in the inner canyon. There is also the risk of falling rocks. But to reach a place where no humans ever tried to live is the reward. In the words of a 1901 explorer to Black Canyon's river area, "Our surroundings were of the wildest possible description. The roar of the water was constantly in our ears. Occasionally, a rock would fall from one side or the other with a roar and a crash, exploding like a ton of dynamite when it struck bottom, making us think our last day had come."
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.